WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Wednesday. That's right, it is Hump Day, March 30th, 2016. And boy, oh boy, do we have a great show in store for all of you out there. On today's show, we will talk a little bit of baseball. That's right, as we will invite Jake Boss Jr., who is the head coach of the Michigan State baseball team. I was actually at McLane Stadium yesterday as the Spartans played host to the Oakland Grizzlies. Find out how that matchup turned out, as well as Michigan State getting off to the best 21-game start since the 70s. Yes, I kid you not. We will also talk about two Russells here on the show. Two Russells that also play in the National Basketball Association and are currently leading headlines, folks. Yeah, trust me, you don't want to miss both of those stories, all right? Got to get something off my chest when it comes to both of those guys. And on the back end of the show, we'll hit you with Wild Take Wednesday. And also, we'll dive into whether or not the Detroit Red Wings will make the playoffs. Call in and be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or you can even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Or, again, folks, our live stream is up on my Facebook page. Just add me as a friend on Facebook at Al Martin. Without further ado, how about we start the show with your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, a year removed from leading the Haslett girls basketball team to its first state championship game in school history, head coach Bob Currier informed school officials on Friday of last week that he would be resigning from his position. The seventh-year coach led the charge last year as the number 8-ranked Vikings fell short in the Class B state title game to number 6-ranked Detroit Country Day. He has led Haslett to at least a share of the CAAC Red Conference Championship the past 3 years. On behalf of all of us here at WKAR's Current Sports, we are going to miss you, Bob. Have a good time in Florida, my man. All right, the Detroit Red Wings fell behind early, came back with a 3-second-period goal performance. And then what'd they do? They lost the lead and the game to the Montreal Canadiens yesterday night. Yes, 4-2-3. The game was a great chance for the Wings to improve their playoff chances as the Boston Bruins, who the Wings are fighting for third place in the Atlantic Division, lost to the New Jersey Devils, giving the Red Wings a chance to move up. Instead, the Bruins remain a point ahead of the Wings, with both teams having 5 games remaining. In the wild card chase, the Red Wings trail the New York Islanders by 4 points, but are tied with Philadelphia, in points. Now, both the Islanders and Philly have played 2 fewer games then the Wings. Yeah, things are getting sticky-icky, folks. The Red Wings are 6-8 over their last 14 games. And again, folks, we want to know, do you think the Red Wings, again, it's the longest postseason win streak, or postseason streak, I should say, in North American sports history. Do you think the Red Wings are going to make the playoffs this year? Call in 517-355-9527. The Detroit Pistons, on the other hand, moved into 7th place. In the NBA's Eastern Conference yesterday night and snapped the Oklahoma City Thunder's 8-game win streak with an 88-82 win. The Pistons were led by Marcus Morris, who had a game-high 24 points on 9 of 13 shooting, and Reggie Jackson, who scored 8 of his 13 points in the final 3:36 to help secure the win for the D. Russell Westbrook led the Thunder with 24 points on a night where OKC decided to rest star Kevin Durant and Serge Ibaka. The Pistons are now 6-2 in their 9-game homestand with a 2.5-game lead over the Chi. That's right, the Chicago Bulls for 9th place. And there's a bit of controversy, off-court controversy, concerning two players that took part in that game between the Thunder and the Pistons last night. OKC's Russell Westbrook was upset with the D's Reggie Jackson after the win. With 1.1 second remaining, Detroit up 86-82, and teammate Aaron Baines heading to the free throw line, Reggie Jackson skipped down the floor with his hands raised, urging the crowd to cheer. OKC reporters asked Westbrook about the celebration after the game, and you'll get the chance to hear what he had to say in just a sec. Stay tuned, all right? The Detroit Lions have agreed to a one-year contract with free agent and former Giants guard Gof Schwartz. Yeah, Schwartz started 11 games at right guard for the Giants last year before breaking his leg and has played both guard positions and right tackle in six NFL seasons with four different teams. Lions president Rod Wood said earlier this offseason that upgrading the offensive line and better protecting quarterback Matthew Stafford was a top priority this offseason. The Detroit Tigers have traded catcher Brian Holliday to the Texas Rangers for catcher Bobby Wilson and right-handed starting pitcher Miles Jay. Now, Holliday has served as a backup catcher in 2014, but was displaced by the play of James McCann. Now, when the Tigers acquired Jared Saltamacchia this offseason, it essentially guaranteed Holliday was on his way out. The Tigers were looking for a backup for McCann who could bat left-handed. Saltamacchia is a switch hitter. All right, with the signing of former Broncos quarterback Brock Osweiler this offseason, the writing appears to be on the wall for former Michigan State quarterback Brian Hoyer. According to NFL.com's Ian Rappaport, the Texans have no plans to hold on to Hoyer as a backup QB, and the two sides are, quote, headed for a divorce. While the statement wasn't elaborated on, it sounds like a trade or a cut is in the near future. Hoyer is only due a base salary of $4 million in 2016. And last but certainly not least, soccer folks, the USA under-23 Olympic soccer squad failed to qualify for the Rio Olympics last night, falling to Colombia 2-1 in Frisco, Texas. Colombia won on a 3-2 aggregate score in the two-leg total goal series. This is the second Olympics in a row that the under-23 team will have failed to qualify for, falling 4 years ago in Nashville to El Salvador. Now, the U.S. had last failed to qualify for consecutive Olympics from 1960 to 68. Colombia will make its first appearance since 1992. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of today's show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Again, you can even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR or at least follow me, folks. Let's start the show.
Celebrated big at the end. Did you take exception to that?
Yeah, I did actually. Honestly, I think some real I don't appreciate it for our team and our organization. I don't like it at all. But you know, it is what it is. We'll see him down the line. You know, we take care of that when we get there.
What did you like from the bench players tonight to come along against tonight? What were the positives?
I thought they did a good job of playing together, man. I thought. You know, they came in with a good mindset and still played the Thunder basketball.
Reggie didn't leave you guys on good terms. Is that mostly the hangover there? Is the way that he left the organization?
I mean, you know, it's not. It doesn't matter, man. Honestly, he wasn't changing nothing for us. Obviously, he didn't want to be here. He's at a better spot. He's not doing too much of a difference, if you ask me. So, he's going to stay over here in Detroit. We're going to stay over here. And, you know, we see them next season.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. Happy, happy Wednesday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. We have a fantastic show in store for you all. Throughout this entire hour, again, phone lines are open. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until we bid adieu at 2 o'clock. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And again, as I stated at the top of the hour, we will be inviting the head coach of the Michigan State baseball team, Jake Boss Jr., to the show to talk about the best start for the squad in the program since the 70s, folks. I kid you not. Baseball team is tearing it up despite what occurred at McLane Stadium yesterday at the hands of the Oakland University Grizzlies. Jake will talk about this year's team and also recap yesterday afternoon's game. But in the meantime, we start today's show with a lot of salt. Yeah, it's a lot of saltiness to start today's show. And it concerns two individuals by the name of Russell. Both of them play in the NBA. And I want to start off first with Russell Westbrook. Of course, you guys know Russell Westbrook, those who follow the NBA. He's one of the best players in the league, arguably a top five player in the league today. Fantastic individual. And he, of course, took the court, took the hardwood against the Detroit Pistons last night. That's right. The Pistons played host to the Oklahoma City Thunder. OKC decided to rest, as I stated, Serge Ibaka and Kevin Durant. But Russell did play, and the Pistons, again, they're fighting for the playoff lives right now. Without a doubt, again, they are among that last batch of teams, you know, searching for a spot to etch a place in the NBA playoffs. And they actually moved up to number 7 last night. How about that? Jumping over the Indiana Pacers. But with the win, 88-82 win, there was a moment, as I recounted, in which Reggie Jackson, you know, he felt, you know, very emotional after getting the dub. A lot on the line, without a doubt, because you essentially have to perform lights out if you want a spot in the playoffs. If you're the Detroit Pistons right now, you can't afford to have lackadaisical effort and subpar performances. And a lot of emotion in the room, especially when discussing Reggie Jackson, because Reggie Jackson used to be a player on that Oklahoma City Thunder team not too long ago before donning the red, white, and royal blue. But with 1 second remaining, you could clearly see Reggie Jackson urging on the crowd, lifting up his hands to get the crowd pumped up. And then you saw Russell Westbrook grab the basketball and kind of punch it down the court. And he was asked, and that's what you just heard, he was asked after that game in the locker room whether or not he had a problem with Reggie Jackson celebrating a bit. Quote, yeah, I did, actually. Honestly, I think that was some real beep. I don't appreciate it for our team and our organization. I don't like it at all, but it is what it is. We'll see him down the line. We'll take care of that when we get there. You know, first off, I just think that in today's league, it doesn't matter if it's even something small, because when I look at this situation, I think it's small. All right. Yeah, there is history here, and I'm sure the reason why Reggie was a bit amped up at the conclusion of that game was because he does have a history with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he did feel like he was slighted when he was with that squad. He didn't get a lot of playing time, and he was basically with the third, fourth wheel when it comes to that Oklahoma City just unbelievable roster. And, you know, he felt like he was a starter in the league. And I think Reggie Jackson has certainly gone on to prove that he is a starter in today's NBA. And I wasn't sold at first. When Reggie came to the Pistons, I wasn't completely sold that he would become the player that he has become for this team. I really thought that Reggie was a guy who was, you know, needed to be tamed a bit rough around the edges. And what I mean by that is his game was a bit sporadic and out of control. And Stan Van putting him as that primary point guard position, I didn't believe that Reggie would flourish in that position because he's not that type of a guard. But again, Stan Van is a complete genius when it comes to developing both the backcourt and the frontcourt and changing individuals' games in the NBA. And we've seen Reggie Jackson not only become a scorer, but become a pretty good facilitator as well, a direct testament to the Pistons' success this year. And I think Reggie has gone on to prove a lot of people wrong, a lot of doubters wrong, specifically the fans out in Oklahoma City that didn't believe that he was a starter in today's NBA. And he is a big key to the Pistons' success this year and since he has gotten here in Detroit. So a lot of emotion in the room. You're playing your former team in which a lot of cats may have hated on you. A lot of fans, you know, from that area said that, okay, you don't need to be on our roster. Go somewhere else. So there's a lot of emotion in that regard, and added on to the fact that, again, as I stated, the Pistons are fighting for a playoff spot. So why can't the man celebrate a little bit? I don't think that he was, well, maybe to a degree. Maybe to a degree he was trying to rub it in OKC's face, saying, yeah, this is what you missed out on. But that's sports. You know, I miss the days, and I sound like a broken record sometimes because I miss the days where cats on an NBA court used to trash talk on the regular. I actually posted a pretty cool video on my Facebook page a few days ago that recounted a moment between Sir Charles Barkley, one of the greatest forwards to ever play the game, and the greatest basketball player to ever play the game, Michael Jordan. It was during a game, and you could clearly see Michael Jordan get fouled. Michael goes to the line, and we all know about the friendship that Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley have and have had since their playing days. They were great friends and still are to this day. But when they got on the court, all of that went out the window. And I kind of equated, I mean, another example you can bring up is the great Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas. Actually, Magic and Isaiah used to kiss before each time they played each other. How about that? But then when they got on the court, it was a complete all-out war, okay? And nobody took it personal. Once it was said and done, once that buzzer went off, it's all in good competition, all right? But nowadays, every player is so buddy-buddy. There's this we are the world feel in today's NBA that if there is an inkling of I don't like you while we're playing, people take it way too personal and it bleeds to off-the-court antics. I just didn't feel like Russell should have felt that way about Reggie Jackson celebrating. And if anything, he should have been a bit sympathetic to where Reggie Jackson was coming from in that notion. So, but at the end of the day, for me as a fan, I like it. I think I'm one of those few that thinks there needs to be a hint of hate in the league today because it's way too buddy-buddy right now. Just give me a little bit of it. I miss those fights and those in-your-face brawls and those I don't like you, you don't like me, let's take it out on each other on the hardwood. I miss that. So it's entertaining for me. It's entertaining for me. I have yet to see a response from Reggie Jackson. I'm hoping it's ugly because I think that Reggie, he's in the right here to be a bit mad and to put things in perspective from his side of things. Again, I don't think that OKC treated him the best. But then again, you look at, all I say is circumstantial in the NBA. You have to come into a situation that allows you to flourish. When you have a Russell Westbrook and a Kevin Durant on the roster, you better believe, even with the way Reggie Jackson is playing right now, you would still be coming off the bench, Reggie. Simple as that. The roster doesn't allow you to be that guy on that squad. So now in Detroit, he's wanted to be that guy, and he is certainly becoming that guy and a centerpiece for this squad. So, hey, I didn't see anything wrong with it. What do you think? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, hailing from New Orleans. And I got a funny story about your Pelicans that I'm going to bring up. Don't steal my thunder. Do you know where I'm going with this, Isaac?
I have an idea, but I'm not positive.
Okay, you're not positive. I have a hilarious story. I wish this story would have broke yesterday. It would have definitely been my Tickle Tuesday. It's absolutely hilarious. And you're rocking your New Orleans Pelicans hat right now. But Isaac, what are your thoughts on this Westbrook versus Jackson situation?
So you and I actually, this will be a good day for the show. Because you and I might get into it fairly regularly. Because I actually I'm 100% with Russell Westbrook on this. Now, do I think that Reggie Jackson did something egregious and horrible and humanity should cast him out of society for it? No. I mean, he's celebrating. The guy's going against a former team. You expect a little added emotion and vitriol against that sort of opposition. But at the same time, this is a little bit different than a simple hand motion to the crowd, pumping them up or anything like that. He was talking the entire time down the court. And he didn't have the best relations with Thunder teammates when he was in Oklahoma City. So I think this was more of a personal attack to a lot of players. We don't know what he said, but
what's
we
wrong?
Got an idea.
But my thing is, Isaac, what's wrong with that? Okay,
no,
he's
there's
got a
nothing
vendetta
wrong with it from
him.
A fan's perspective. But I'm saying Russell Westbrook, I would take offense to that. If I was on the other team, of course I'd want to go back at him for that and say, we'll see you again, and next time we'll beat you, whatever he did say, because I've got nothing wrong with those types of conflicts when it's player versus player, team versus team. I'm with you. I like that. I miss the glory days of the NBA when you'd have superstars finding it out instead of riding a banana boat together in the Bahamas. That's not what the NBA should be. So
right.
I like this in general, but I also like Russell Westbrook's response just as much as Reggie Jackson's comments and the antagonism of the Thunder.
Right. I agree. I want to give folks thoughts on this story. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, when it comes to the overall standings of the NBA right now, again, the Detroit Pistons, they have jumped the Indiana Pacers, and they currently sit in the seventh seed of the NBA playoffs if it were to start today. Who knows? We still got some basketball left to play as the season slowly ticks down here. But at the end of the day, right now, the Pistons are currently in the playoffs. And if it were to start today, the Pistons would be playing the Toronto Raptors. Here's how the top eight look in the Eastern Conference right now. The Cleveland Cavaliers, a team in which I am totally not sold on right now. I don't know about you, Isaac, but that team looks, from a together standpoint, they don't look together at all right now.
No.
You know? And you look at the way they play. There's like a divide going on right now. You know, when it comes to LeBron James, I know LeBron has been calling out his teammates, you know, as the year has gone on. I just don't think that LeBron is happy right now in Cleveland. You know, you look at his demeanor when he's out there playing with his teammates. You look at him when he's on the bench. He didn't play last night due to rest, or they didn't want to risk anything. As they're already in the playoffs, so it's like, why play your superstars? You're going to see that a lot right now with some of the top-tier teams that have already clinched a spot in the NBA playoffs. Their superstars are going to start to rest. But with that being said, LeBron James' teammates haven't been getting it done. And the same can be said for LeBron to a certain extent. I don't think that LeBron has had, in comparison to his previous years in the league, he hasn't had a stellar year. He hasn't had an ultra-LeBron-like year, if you will. And I just don't think that LeBron is happy right now. And I voiced my concern. And again, you know, going back to that whole kumbaya, we are the world type of feel in today's NBA. You know, when Cleveland had, a couple days off during the year, and LeBron James decides to, you know, go to Miami to link up with his friend Dwayne Wade, you know, who plays for the Miami Heat, the same team in which is, you know, they're competing in the same conference in the NBA's Eastern Conference. You go down there during the year to work out with him. You know, come on, man. You would have never seen that when it comes to the NBA superstars back in the 90s, 80s, just back in the day, period, during the year. Offseason, cool. Hang out, kumbaya, go get a drink, you know, whatever. It's the offseason. There's no basketball being played. But in the middle of the year, you're going to do that? I don't know. So I just think that LeBron, he misses Miami. He certainly does. And I don't think that he's totally happy with being in Cleveland. That's just my opinion. So right now, again, this is how the standings look right now. You got Cleveland at number one. The Raptors at number two. The Atlanta Hawks, three. Miami Heat, four. Boston is five. Number six, Charlotte Hornets. Shout out to MJ, man. He's done a great job with that Hornets team. And seven, the Pistons and the Pacers sitting at number eight. Nipping at the Pacers' heels and the Pistons as well, because right now the Pistons only have a one-game lead over the Pacers, but you have the Chicago Bulls at nine, Washington at 10. So going to be very interesting now. And how about that Bulls team? And we noted it yesterday on the show. How, you know, that this Bulls team is certainly struggling with finding some sort of identity because they don't have one right now. And if it wasn't for Jimmy Butler last night, Chicago would have dropped another game. So it's really tough to watch the Bulls right now. But what do you think? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Trust, yes, we are going. I'm getting comments right now. Talk about the D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young story. We are going to get to that, trust me. But in the meantime, let's go to line one right now. We do have Jody from Canada on the line. Jody, how are you doing, my friend? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing well, man. I thought you were going to talk about everything. I was going to take my afternoon meds. No, I'm just kidding.
Right, just hang up and just enjoy it, right?
I'm in a silly mood today, man. But no, first off, it's just you're right. It's all too friendly, man. That's because the major reason I'll explain what's happening, because like I told Isaac, I'm only sharing minimal knowledge today. You got too many tall kids and too many big boys are playing sports because people have told them it's a way to get money and it's a way to get out of the hood or get out of whatever. when before a lot of guys played it because of the love, and you saw guys getting better every year. Like you take Denzel. Denzel has gotten better every year of his MSU career. You know, he wasn't known as a jump shooter. He became deadly with the jump shots. He became, you know, so when you see guys nowadays, most of them, you know, if he's 6'9", 6'10", we say he should play basketball. He may not even like basketball. Or if he's 300, he's kind of tall and kind of chunky, we put him on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they may not have the love, and most of them don't even know the history. You know, you talk about the game. See, I was watching the game back in the 60s when Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain, when they had the one-shot punching fouls.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
You hear what I said?
Oh, yeah.
Punching fouls. You punch somebody, it was one shot, put them on the line, and let's keep playing.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, and that's what I say. You know, yesterday's flagrant foul yesterday's foul, regular foul, is today's flagrant foul, Jody. You
yep.
know what I mean? Like, the game, and I think a lot of it has to do with the way the game is called. The way the game is called today, Jody, is way too soft. It doesn't allow for any physicality, really. So that when there is some physicality, guess what? Those guys are headed to the locker room. They just got ejected or fined the next day. Simple as that.
Yeah, and see what happens, too, now, you know, and see, that's why a lot of guys, you know, everybody was the pro Michael Jordan, and don't get me wrong, Mike was the truth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But Mike opened up the lane, not Mike, Nike opened up the lane because they started selling all them tennis shoes and them T-shirts.
Right, exactly.
Okay, because
right.
When Nike said, you know, the Pistons weren't good for basketball in the late 80s, early 90s because they were knocking Mike down and Teddy Pippen down, and they decided to open that lane up and make it a free fly zone, the game was going to change. Because now, I mean, how can I worry about winning when I should, you know, you go into the hole and I should at least not, you know, foul you because it's the playoffs, but then they look at it to see was it intentional. Of course it's intentional. I'm trying to stop you from scoring.
Exactly. Obvious, right? And, you know, I think that a lot of these players, you know, they're a victim of circumstance in this regard. You know, Mike, back in the day, he kind of opened that door for those who play in the NBA today to get those big money endorsements. And with that, you know, and this is just the nature of the business, with that becomes a sort of a prima donna attitude. You know what I mean? And what takes a backseat is that hunger, that eye of the tiger to win. Because if you're getting paid, you know, in an 80 million, you know, 60 million endorsement deal on the side, if you lose an NBA game, it's like, I'm still getting paid. I'm still a happy guy. Whereas back in the day, those cats were hungry. You know what I mean? They didn't have the millions that are being pumped into the league today. Therefore, creating that mindset that, okay, well, if I don't win, I'm still getting paid at the end of the day. If you
right,
had
guys,
to win to get paid
work
in, back
the,
then.
In other jobs.
Right, exactly. Right.
When you won that free car as the all-star game MVP, I'm talking even before, you know, Irvin and them, I'm going back to maybe the late 60s, early, you know, before the, you know, when Wilt was making $300,000, which now, you know, wouldn't even be minimum, you know, but, you know, when those things happened and guys were winning NBA, the all-star MVPs and, you know, the game, in finals MVPs, those cars meant something.
Right. So true. Yeah. Jody, great call, my man.
Oh, last thing, man.
Oh, you got something else? Yeah, go ahead.
Talk about basketball. Now, let's wait till the fall and start talking about two-hand touch football.
Right.
If they got these cats playing now, how you gonna practice? How you gonna tackle? And you can't even tackle in practice in the college in the pro game.
Right. And then
who teaches these guys to tackle, man? Have you seen these tackling?
Yeah, and you know, and that's a conversation when it comes to health as well, Jody, because with what we're starting to learn, it seems like every single day, every month, I feel like something new comes out about CTE and concussions. The NFL is struggling right now about what they can do to make sure that these cases of concussions go down, but at the same time, keep the game fun, entertaining, and most of all, physical. It's a hard balancing act, Jody.
It's an occupation to play two-hand tag. They taught us, and this is all through university, elementary school, you put your face in the numbers and you use your head as a battering ram. So if you're going to tell me, you know, CTEs, every now and then my wife have to ask me, what did you say, or you know what I mean? Because
right.
That's how they taught you to block and tackle.
Yeah.
Put your face mask in the numbers and drive the man off the ball. So you know there's some things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and if they keep teaching kids that and players that, I think we're going to start to see the numbers stay consistent when it comes to concussions in the league, which is a scary thing, Jody. That's why they
changed it, and they got you now grabbing guys and tackling with the shoulders.
Right.
But like I said, you know, we were taught to put the face mask in the numbers, you know, and even tackling dummy, those 300-pound dummies coming at you, you know, to them, you feel your body go numb, and then you drive it off the ball or, you know, those kind of crazy things. But that was football back then. And, you know, I guess the only thing you really can do to make it safer is, I don't know, man, call it two-hand touch.
Yeah. That's
because
true.
My coach at Michigan State, the late C.T. Ugly, he always called it a collision sport. He said dancing was contact.
Yeah, that's so true. Jody, great call, my friend. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
You do the same. All right, and again, you're starting to see, you know, at the high school level, and I think we had a representative from Head Start on our show, the Head Start program, which is basically a program that goes across youth leagues, youth football leagues in the entire nation to teach kids how to not lead with their head and to tackle rugby style, which will hopefully alleviate a lot of the concussion cases that we see on a consistent basis in today's football. Folks, call in 517-355-9527. I want to throw this story out there as well before we hit our first break, and I want to get your thoughts on this one, all right? The Los Angeles Lakers, yeah, rookie point guard, D'Angelo Russell, he's done something that I believe violates man code, man law. He actually, I guess when they were chilling, it looked like they were in a hotel on the road playing some ball. And, you know, Russell, you know, D'Angelo Russell was sitting back in the hotel chatting with his teammate, Nick Young. Now, I don't know why. I don't know what was going through D'Angelo Russell's mind, but he decided to take out his phone and record a conversation between the two. Now, the video, which is believed to have come to light last week via Twitter, his Twitter account, shows Russell filming Young while asking questions about Young being with other women. Now, that would be all fine and dandy if Young did not have a honey, okay? Young and Australian rapper Iggy Azalea are engaged, and they got engaged last June. So the conversation details Nick Young basically come out and saying, yeah, you know, I talked to this girl. I couldn't talk to this one because at the time she knows my girl. And it just completely blew up. So much so that it's being reported right now that there is a bit of turmoil in the LA locker room and that some players are basically isolating D'Angelo Russell in the locker room. And I even heard a report when I was driving into work today on ESPN's Dan Lebatard show that they are even isolating him when it comes to the X's and O's on the basketball court. Okay? Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. In the meantime, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk baseball with the head coach of the Michigan State baseball team, Mr. Jake Boss Jr. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527. And I'm blowing up right now, Isaac. Everybody is asking when we are going to get to the D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young story.
This wow.
You know, it's crazy, right? It's a weird story. You know, first off, when you talk about teammates on the team, and this is why, and not to get on my soapbox like Tom Izzo here, but this is why you have to be so careful when it comes to social media, okay? Because social media, it can be the death of you, dude. You know what I mean? And, you know, you have two teammates that, again, two teammates play on the same team, and, you know, one of them whips out his phone and starts to record a conversation that should be in-house behind closed doors, but starts to record a conversation about his teammate basically cheating on his woman. It's so weird, folks. So call in if you want to comment on it. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. In the meantime, let's get to our guest for today's show, okay? Isaac is going to take your calls behind the glass. We're going to get to your phone calls right after this chat with the head coach of the Michigan State baseball team. And, folks, they are on a roll right now. Now, they fell to Oakland yesterday afternoon at McLane Baseball Stadium. But prior to that game, folks, we're talking about the best 21-game start since 1972. Again, I'll say it again. The best 21-game start since the 70s. Are you kidding me? Yes, they are on a complete roll right now. It's a pleasure to welcome Jake Bosch Jr. to the show. Jake, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, Al. How are you?
I am fantastic. And, Jake, you know, I just want to throw this question out at you. I don't know if you heard about the story concerning, you know, D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young for the L.A. Lakers, but have you ever had a turmoil between two teammates in the locker room? And if so, how do you deal with that as a coach?
Well, I think it's something that, you know, you're constantly working on as a coach. And, I mean, you know, for our guys, you know, they're around each other so much that they need to figure out how to get along. And it's always not perfect in there, and there are certain times where we do have to kind of step in. Obviously, at the pro level, those guys are grown men and they're adults, and those situations are handled a little bit differently. But we can be a little bit more hands-on and kind of help facilitate some things that that a 35-man group are going to go through. And there are times where it is a family, and you're going to have some arguments and disagreements with family. But you know, fortunately, we've had some great kids along the way, and really haven't had too many, if any, that I can remember locker room issues. So that can be a tough one, though.
That's fantastic. No doubt about it. Yeah, let's hope that keeps up for your squad, because chemistry. Oh, you guys certainly have it this season, Jake. Again, entering yesterday's matchup against OU, best 21 game start since 1972. Jake, what is different about this year's team?
Well, I tell you, Al, I think you just hit the nail on the head a couple seconds ago when you talked about chemistry. I mean, this is a group of guys that I've never been around, I think, a closer-knit group. You know, it's a group that cares about each other. It's a group that's very selfless and a group that truly wants what's best for the ball club. And that can be difficult at times when, you know, guys want to throw and they want to get their innings in and guys want to get at bats, things like that. But there have been a numerous amount of guys that that have taken kind of a back seat, so to speak, or maybe a lesser role for the good of the ball club. And I think that speaks to the leadership that we have on this team with our, not only our seniors, but our juniors. There are some guys that are just tremendous leaders that lead vocally and by example. And, you know, I think that's made a world of difference on this team. And it's a team that, you know, with a lot of new guys. We had 8 guys drafted off of last year's team. So, you know, we really returned 1 position player. I was looking at box scores today for the from last year's Oregon series. And in the 3 games that we played out there, looking at the lineup that's going to be in place probably on Friday, we won't have 1 position player in that lineup that played last year against Oregon. So it's a completely different group, but a talented group and one that plays hard for each other.
Wow, that's really remarkable. Just 1 position player returning from last year's roster. I mean, Jake, how do you go about, you know, building this team with that many, amount of eminent individuals that were so important to your success last year, now up and gone? How did you attack that?
Well, you know, again, Al, I think they're good kids, and there are a lot of guys waiting in the wings, you know, ready to get their opportunity. And, you know, to their credit, they kept their nose down. They kept working hard, and, you know, they understood kind of how things work. And, you know, they were just biding their time. And when guys did get their opportunity, you know, Dan Durkin is a great example. I mean, he's a tremendous worker for us. He's sitting around 400 right now. And in his first 2 years here, he was kind of a spot starter. You know, I'm sure didn't get the at-bats that he wanted to or thought he maybe should be getting. But, you know, he kept his mouth shut and he kept working hard. And you know, we moved him to left field this year at the beginning of the year. He's never played the outfield in his life. But, you know, he wanted what was best for the ball club, moved out there. And then we had to move some guys around because of some injuries and move them to second base. And you know, he hasn't skipped a beat. And so there are numerous examples like that. But, you know, we felt like we'd be pretty deep coming into the year with those guys waiting in the wings, and then we added, you know, some new guys, a couple freshmen, a couple junior college transfers that we thought would be ready right away, and they've done well, very well so far.
Now, Jake, you entered the game against Oakland yesterday, coming off a sweep against Rutgers to start the Big Ten year. How important was it to get that kind of start to the conference season?
Well, it's huge, you know. I mean, you certainly don't want to put yourself in the hole right away. And playing at home, we obviously place an importance with playing at home, just as everybody does. And you know, I think the weekend was kind of indicative of our ball club right now. You know, we maybe didn't swing it as well as we had hoped, but you know, our guys kept grinding. We were down. We came from behind. You know, we were down 2-0, I think, in game two of the series. We were down 5-0 in game three of the series, and just kept grinding and kept competing and figured out a way to get it done. And so, you know, we're happy to be 3-0 in the Big Ten. And you know, Oregon comes in with our bye week this weekend, and it's one where you know, we place equal amount of importance on this one, because it could have some ramifications at the end of the year.
Now, Jake, going into yesterday's matchup against OU, coming in, your pitching staff, again, leads the Big Ten with a 2.27 ERA, also ninth in the country. What makes them so good?
Well, there's a lot of depth there, no question, Al. I mean, you know, the guy that is our Friday night guy and the kind of the leader of our pitching staff is Cam Vu. And Cam was the 17th round draft pick of the Detroit Tigers last year as a redshirt sophomore, and decided to turn that down and to come back to school to increase his draft status, but also to play for Michigan State. And so, you know, Cam is having a great year for us. We did get a kid named Ethan Landon eligible after he transferred. He had to sit for a year after transferring in from Kansas State. You know, see, he's done a tremendous job. Walter Borkovich is our Sunday guy. He went from the bullpen, kind of taking the next step, you know, in his progression to our Sunday starter. And then we're deep in the bullpen as well. A couple guys, Jake Lowry's back from an injury after missing last year with Tommy John surgery, and he's back and healthy and at 100%. And a couple of those guys that were freshmen last year and even sophomores last year have again taken the next step in their development and are ready to go. Dakota Meckes, Keegan Barr, Joe Mockby. I mean, these guys have really worked hard, kind of bided their time, and now they're the guys for us out of the pen and throwing extremely well for us.
And also, I mean, Jake, when you look at your bullpen, locked down all year, allowing, 17 earned runs in 66 innings. Talk about the personnel that makes up your bullpen, Jake.
Well, it's been a nice kind of change of pace, I guess, for us. We were talking with a couple of our players this morning about, you know, we have the luxury now of playing different matchups, you know, and kind of pitching two different matchups as opposed to maybe riding a guy out until, you know, he runs out of gas or until he has a little bit of failure. We're at a point right now where we can go left on left or right on right, or kind of, you know, make some changes based on, you know, what matchups we think are going to give us the best chance. And so that does a lot for guys' confidence. If we can take them out on a high note, if a guy can come in and get his guy out and have a lot of success, you know, that kind of feeds off of everything else. And guys feed off of each other in their success. So, you know, that depth has really helped us without a doubt.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Jake Bosch Jr., head coach of the Michigan State baseball team. Now, you know, Jake, I was at the game yesterday afternoon against Oakland University. Didn't get a chance to chat with you because immediately after it was said and done, I went over to Sequoia Stadium to catch one play of the Michigan State softball game. They certainly brought it to their opposition yesterday afternoon as well. But I found a candid comment on the news last night when you talked about that loss to the Grizzlies, and you said that Oakland played harder than us, end quote. Was there a bit of complacency at all against OU? What took place yesterday?
Well, that's a good question, Al. You know, we addressed that before the game, and that was something that we talked about. We knew that we were going to get a good effort out of Oakland. We knew that they had, they're playing well. They're on a four-game winning streak, I believe, coming in. And they swept Northern Kentucky last weekend, who ironically beat the University of Kentucky last night. So they beat a very good ball club over the weekend three or four times. And teams that are, so to speak, mid-major schools, you know, just like any other sport, I think come in here with a bit of a chip on their shoulder and really want to play well here and feel like they play like they have something to prove. And I thought that, you know, Oakland played that way. They played extremely well. They played hard. They played, some gritty type of baseball. They scored all three of their runs with two outs, and and really kind of grinded it. And I was a little disappointed that we didn't. You know, I think we gave away a lot of at bats. I think we put a lot of bad swings on pitches early in the count, where we were maybe in positive situations and kind of got ourselves out. And then we were kind of defensive in some other situations when there was no need to be. So I thought mentally, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we weren't quite there yesterday. We tried to make some, you know, changes. We tried to address it not only before but during the game, and it just, you know, it just didn't happen. And Oakland out-executed us, you know, and tip your cap to them. Our sport, you know, isn't necessarily like football or basketball where, you know, we're bigger, faster, stronger, always wins, and you need to execute well. And we've been on both sides of that, certainly. But, you know, to Oakland's credit, they were well coached. They played hard yesterday, and, you know, and they got us. And it's something that we need to address moving forward.
Well, this weekend, Jake, again, you guys hope to get back on that saddle when you play a three-game series against Oregon. What do you know about Oregon? What type of team are they, Jake?
Well, we went out there last year, Alan, had a lot of success. We swept them at their place a year ago in a three-game series. And so, you know, the first thing that we know about them is they're going to be highly motivated coming in here as well. You know, a little revenge factor for them is certainly something that, you know, we would expect. And I can tell you that they do pitch it very well. I think they're starting pitching as good as anybody in the country. You know, with that said, you know, they're struggling at the plate a little bit right now, which has probably contributed to their you know, their record, but don't sleep on them. I mean, their record's around 500, but they've played a difficult schedule. You know, the Pac-12 is one of the better leagues in the country, and, you know, they're a very talented group, and, you know, when a group like that gets some confidence and they get rolling, they can be very difficult. So our task is to get a lead early, you know, and try to keep those guys at bay, and, you know, try to get the momentum early, and hopefully it rolls for us. But, yeah, it's gonna be a very good series. Should be fun to watch.
It certainly will. I can't wait to check it out. All right, Jake. And before I get you out of here, I actually just had a conversation with the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg Strassler. Of course, we are less than a week now away from the Crosstown Showdown that would take place at Cooley Law School Stadium next week. And you know, there's a pretty cool addition, and I think an addition that you'll start to see across the board in the United States of America when it comes to baseball ballparks, if you will. And I see that a lot of stadiums are expanding the net that's behind home plate due to fan safety. Of course, Cooley Law School Stadium will be implementing that this year. What are your thoughts on expanding the net?
I think it's a tremendous thing that they're doing. I think it's something that should be done in every ballpark across the country. You know, I think you know, our ballpark is like that. The net goes from dugout to dugout. And you know, baseball is a sport where if you're sitting close, you really need to pay attention. And that doesn't happen all the time when fans go there, you know, go to a game at the pro level. And if you're not paying attention, it can be extremely dangerous. And so, you know, you've seen people get hurt, not only by, you know, bats that may slip out of somebody's hand, but obviously foul balls that come into the stands at really high velocities where sometimes people don't even have a chance if they are paying attention. And so, you know, for fan safety, it's something that I think is extremely important. I think it's long overdue, and it doesn't really impact the viewing pleasure, I guess you could say, of a fan. I mean, it's something that really, you know, kind of blends in once you sit farther enough away that you don't even know it's there after a while.
Jake, I could not agree with you more. Again, Jake's team is 18-4, 3-0 in the Big Ten Conference. And again, they play host to the Oregon Ducks starting this Friday, 3:05 p.m. First pitch set for Friday. Jake, we wish you all the luck in the world, and I look forward to chatting with you this weekend.
All right, very good. Thanks, Al.
Thank you so much, Jake. Again, Jake Bosch Jr., the head coach of the Michigan State baseball team. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, you will get our thoughts on this D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young story that is setting the sports world on fire. Yeah, I can't believe it is, but it is, folks. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Now let's get right to it. Get it out the way. D'Angelo Russell, Los Angeles Lakers rookie, and Nick Young, they both play on the LA Lakers. I guess they become good friends on the squad. And a video that was released via social media has really been the talk of the town the past few days, all right? Now, it's a video that shows Nick Young laying on the bed with his laptop, and opposite to Nick Young is D'Angelo Russell. You can hear D'Angelo Russell's voice in the video. Now, D'Angelo Russell is the one who whipped out his phone and started recording a conversation between the two while they were max taxing and relaxing. Now, the video shows Russell filming Young while asking questions about Young being with other women. Now, what makes it juicy is the fact that Young is dating, well, I should say more than dating, Australian hip-hop artist Iggy Azalea. They announced their engagement last June. And you can hear in the video, while it's going on, that I guess Young, you know, he says something like this. Have you seen the video first off, Isaac?
Yes, I have.
In the video, I think Nick Young says something like, yeah, you know, and then, you know, you hear D'Angelo Russell say, oh, never. Come on, man. And then he throws out another name. Then I heard that she was 19, something like, oh, she was 19.
Age difference of 30 and 19,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, she was 19 or something like that. And then it goes on, and then you can hear Nick Young say, oh, no, not her. She knows my girl. So, first off, let's just get this out the way first. NBA players have a lot of them. I'm not trying to throw all of them in this bunch, but a lot of NBA players have their choosing of the litter. Okay, Isaac? And a lot of NBA players don't just date one woman. Let's just address that elephant
They've
in the room, okay?
They've got vibrant selection.
Oh, yeah. Vibrant selection and an illustrious dating life, okay? A lot of them do. They have a lot of women that are waiting outside of the hotel room on road trips, all right? So let's just address that, all right? Second off, why this video is getting so much play is because of the relationship between Nick Young and Iggy Azalea, okay? Iggy Azalea is one of the premier names in hip-hop right now, okay? Dating Nick Young, their relationship has been well documented via many media sites out there, and they are engaged. They're slated to become married, okay? But this is the problem that I have. If you are supposed to be this man's teammate, these are conversations that are supposed to happen in-house. Why did D'Angelo Russell feel the need to whip out his phone and to record this conversation, let alone post it via social media? To me, it looks like D'Angelo Russell was being basically a shiesty cat and decided to, you know, stick it to Nick Young. Why? I have no clue. And now there are reports coming out saying that they are out, you know, teammates of D'Angelo Russell. The Lakers are isolating Russell in the locker room. And I listened to this. I was listening to Dan Le Batard driving in to work today, Isaac. And they had a reporter, you know, from ESPN.com who follows the NBA. And they actually, and get this, this is how far this story is going. They analyzed the Lakers' last game. I don't know who they played, okay? Who cares about the Lakers right now because they're not making the playoffs. But I don't know who they played. But they analyzed if there was any on-court turmoil. You know what I mean? If the players were passing the ball to D'Angelo Russell. And they've shown that statistically, when you just evaluate one game, statistically, the players have stopped passing the ball to D'Angelo Russell in comparison to other games. More so, there's one player I want to call out. Lou Williams, player for the LA Lakers.
Wait, Lou?
Yeah, I believe it was Lou.
Okay, I'll jump in on this later, but I've got some comments about Lou as well.
Okay, Lou Williams, get this, okay? They looked up Lou Williams, his statistics for their last game, okay? And Lou Williams was on the floor for 10 or 11 minutes, did not pass the ball. The only player on the court that did not pass the ball to D'Angelo Russell one time. Are you kidding me? And it's been said that there was a moment caught by a reporter where D'Angelo Russell came and sat next to Lou Williams, and Lou Williams didn't want nothing to do with him and got up and just walked the other way. So it's icky. It's sticky, icky in that locker room. And I must say, I'm on the side of the Lakers teammates right here in this conversation. Yeah. Because if you are supposed to be my teammate, if you are supposed to be my homeboy, quote unquote, you do not do that. That's man law. That's man code. All right. Those are conversations that if they're going to be talked about, they're not being talked about with your phone out and you recording it and posting it for the world to see. Come on, man. Are you kidding me? That's man law. You're violating man law there.
Yeah, I guess you could say it's sticky Iggy.
Sticky Iggy, I like that. Oh, I like that.
I thought of it.
Kudos
I had
to
bring it in.
Kudos but to anyway, you, Isaac.
Lou Williams, first off, fun fact for people out there. Lou Williams has two girlfriends, and they know about each other. And
who is he dating?
I don't think any celebrities. Okay. But anyway, it's just some sort of weird triangle relationship. They're aware of it. So anyway, that's an odd guy to take offense with the situation, I guess. But Nick Young, first off, listen, people,
well,
don't cheat
see,
on your girlfriend,
but,
whatever.
But going back to the situation with Lou Williams, why I know why Lou is mad, because he's just glad that he wasn't the one recorded, I guess. He's got two girlfriends.
No, they know about each other, though. It's widely known as
weird
news. It's propagated all over the place. But anyway.
That from? That's weird. All right, go ahead.
Isn't it weird? But anyway, I've got a problem with what D'Angelo did, too, because not only are you a point guard on the team, which means you should be unselfish, you should help your teammates, all this grand, great stuff, but you're also the future leader and the direction that this franchise chose to take, number two overall, and you already are taking off teammates. Come on, dude.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, what Nick did wasn't great, but at the same time, you have a certain right to privacy, especially when you think you're talking with a friend.
I agree.
What compels you to pull out a phone right there?
Right.
And just post that online, or I think he sent it to somebody who posted it online, which is just as stupid. You don't send that to anybody. You don't record it. Gossip's one thing, but if this is gossip, it doesn't go anywhere. Like you and I have talked about before, a video makes everything worse. Klay Thompson, in fact, mm-hmm. was caught cheating on his girlfriend earlier on in the year.
Yeah,
and she was
Hannah,
a model,
was it
Hannah Stocking?
Yeah, Hannah Stocking.
Stocking, something like that.
Right.
And absolutely, I don't know why you would cheat on her, but at the same time, it didn't get that much press mm-hmm. or traction in the media because there's no video.
Right.
Here, the video makes the difference.
And I want to say, this isn't a question about what Nick Young did wrong, doing wrong by his fiance. That's not the question here, folks. We're not arguing that. We're not arguing morality when it comes to relations with another individual, all right? What we are arguing is being a good teammate. That is not something a good teammate does. That's something a shiesty dude does. That's something your quote-unquote enemy does, all right? So, I don't know. Current sports just turned into TMZ sports today, all right?
That's what I was thinking. Not really much sports there.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to bid you all adieu. Under 1 minute left in the show. Again, folks, I want to remind you all that, hey, you can be a part of Current Sports TV's live studio audience tonight at 6 p.m. when I sit down with Adam Biggers, sports reporter for Michigan State and U of M, for today's U Sports, simply by going online and signing up on WKAR.org. We'll be back at it. Same time, same place tomorrow. But in the meantime, special thanks to Jake Boss Jr. for joining me on today's show and all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.